The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared before them, conversing with them. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was speaking, behold, a bright light cast a shadow over them. Then from the clouds came a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and do not be afraid." And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. And they were coming down from the mountain. Jesus charged them, "Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning. It's nice to be back here. Thank you for your warm welcome. As I was standing in the back of the church, I never stood back there before, not for long, and realized again how beautiful your church is, and the architecture, very, very medieval. You know, you have the transepts here, makes it the cruciform, so the style of the cross, the cross, symbol of the cross. And then you have this is called groin vaulting, and the whole idea of the groin vaulting was to lift the church up, so that it represents lifting up to heaven and letting in the light, that the light of heaven coming down on earth. And the three arches here, Trinitarian, it's all full of symbols, just like the medievals, they made architecture symbolic of the faith. Since people couldn't read and write, they had to do everything possible to convey the faith to people, not only with the stained glass windows, but even the architecture, the bricks themselves speak of the faith in Christ. Most of you probably know who I am, but just for those who don't, I'm Father Fisher, David Fisher. I was ordained May 31st, 1984 by St. John Paul II, and I teach the seminarians at St. Charles Seminary. I used to teach at Rosemont College, and so even though I was born in Columbus, Ohio, and will forever be a Buckeye, part of me is also now Philadelphian because I've been here for so long and have lived here twice. And greetings from Monsignor Brito. He lost his brother, this week, and his youngest brother, Fernando. And before I forget, I'd like to invite all of you to Bible study. I teach Bible study at St. Cyprian's for Monsignor on Thursday mornings at 10 o'clock. And all of you are invited. We get some people from St. Ignatius and St. Cyprian's, and maybe we can get some of you. You're always welcome. Our first reading today, Abraham. Abraham's the father of faith. And as often what happens in the Old Testament, you know, when God chooses someone, he changes their name. So Abram becomes eventually Abraham. And who is Abraham? Well, Abraham is all of us. He is the father of faith. Faith means total trust. Total trust. Abraham trusted that God and would take him to a better place. Abraham trusted always to follow what the Lord asked of him. And therefore, it symbolizes also what Lent is all about, isn't it? Lent is a time in which we grow in our total trust with God. I think sometimes in Lent, you know, since our childhood, we always were taught you have to give up something for Lent or abstain from something or, you know, fast. I think sometimes we become fixated on the things that we gave up rather than the point of why we do them. Because the point is to free ourselves, to realize that there's nothing, there's no food, no drink, no material good, nothing that will truly satisfy what it means to be human except for God. Amen. Yes. We were made for Him. We were made to be like Him. We were made in the image and likeness of God, which means we were made to be beings of love. And Christ shows us that love means what? Self-sacrifice. Letting go of my wants and of the misunderstandings of what I think will fulfill me as a person, because ultimately the only thing that can fulfill me is God. So rather than to fixate on the things I give up at Lent, the whole idea is to let them go. Let them go. So that we can grow in this total trust. And then we come to the second reading. And Paul reminds us of some important points that we should remember during Lent and every day of our life as Christians. He says, first, you know, we have to share our part of the burden of the gospel. Each of us is called to be ministers of the gospel, the good news. Which means at times, you're going to take the good news to people and places that don't want to hear you. Just as our Lord suffered rejection, just as his apostles at times suffered rejection, so will you and I. Not everyone has open ears and open hearts and open minds. Some people intentionally don't have open ears, hearts, and minds. They don't want to hear about God because that means they will have to change their lives and join us in this journey of total trust. And Paul reminds us that that journey is not always going to be easy. We will share in the burden of proclaiming the gospel, which we proclaim not only with our lips, but more importantly, with our lives. You know, it's not always what we say, it's how we act. People should see that there's something different about us as Christians. Then he reminds us, as he often does, that we don't save ourselves by our works. We can't save ourselves. I remember once when I was in Cincinnati, and this gentleman I was talking to, and he and his wife had lost his faith completely His wife had left the Catholic faith and joined another church. But he ran, runs this very successful drug rehabilitation center in Cincinnati. And so we're talking, and he says to me, well, you know, I don't believe in God anymore, but if there is God, I should be all right because of the good things I've done with my drug rehabilitation center. And I said, okay. You can go on thinking that, but we can't save ourselves. First has to come faith. Now, James reminds us that faith without works is dead. It's not just a matter of proclaiming our faith or holding the truth in our heads. It has to come out in our lives, in our works. Faith and works are intimately bound together as Christians. But faith has to come first. Then today's gospel. Today's gospel is, I call it, a beautiful icon, a beautiful picture of the totality of salvation history. Now, I think I mentioned this the last time I was here, but I'll start with this. How do we know Christ? If Jesus was sitting in McDonald's, would you know it was him? We know Christ, as Paul tells us, because of according to the Scriptures. And by the Scriptures, he means, of course, the Jewish Scriptures, what we call the Old Testament. The apostles and the apostolic community, most of them who were steeped in their knowledge of their Jewish heritage and therefore of the Scriptures, when they experienced the risen Lord, they realized that He was the long-awaited Messiah. And by the power of the Spirit given to them, they were able to make this profession, and this faith took root in their lives. We know who Jesus is because He fulfilled the Scriptures, according to the Scriptures, as Paul says. And just as, and why do we call our faith apostolic? We call our faith apostolic because of the apostolic church, the New Testament church, the primitive church, the church of the apostles, the ones who saw the risen Lord and received the Spirit at Pentecost and have passed on this greatest of mysteries, this totality of truth to you and I. And that's why we are baptized and confirmed. By being baptized and confirmed, we are baptized and confirmed into the apostolic faith, to the truth about God revealed in Jesus Christ. And then in the Eucharist is the food of our life.
Yes.
So, Transfiguration. Our Lord takes some of His apostles to a mountain. And you know what mountains do in the Bible. Something's going to happen. And when He comes to the mountain, He is transfigured with Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets. And what did we say? How do we know who Jesus is? Because according to the Scriptures, and now He stands with the ones from which Scripture comes from, the law, Moses. God chose a particular people to implant His unique divine revelation and teach them how to be different than the other peoples of the world, to be ethical. What was the point of the law? The point of the law was to teach the people to be like me, to be like God, saying, to be like me, to be ethical. You can't just do anything you want. Human beings are not just animals. We are graced animals. We are animals filled with God's Spirit. We can live differently. But while we live in this life, we fail. And that's why the prophets come along. And the prophets tell even the kings, even David, even Solomon, even the kings, you've done wrong. The law and the prophets, the very heart of the Israelite tradition. And they know who Jesus is. When they are transfigured with him, they know who he is. The eternal Son of the Father. Here you have in a painting salvation history. God implanting his word through the law and the prophets of the Israelite people who long awaited the Messiah through the ups and the downs, the kingdoms and the destructions. And Jesus shows this to who? The apostles. And who are the apostles? The church. Abraham is us. The apostles are us. Today we go on our journey, and today we see our Lord transfigured before us. This story, this scripture, is about you and I. God calls us to have total trust. We realize we do not make ourselves perfect. God does not ask us to make ourselves perfect. He asks us to have faith in him. That when we go to our mountain, we will be transfigured with the risen Lord.